This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Prophet ﷺ mentions a man, يطيل السفر. He'd been traveling for a long time. أشعث أغبر. Dusty and disheveled. يمد يديه إلى السماء. Raising his hands towards the sky. يا رب يا رب. But his clothes were haram. And his drink was haram. And his nourishment was haram. فأنا يستجاب له. Then how can that dua be accepted? So this image that the Prophet ﷺ is portraying as a commentary to his statement about eating that which is pure and consuming that which is pure, he gives this example of a man who normally his dua would be fast-tracked. He's a traveler and the dua of a traveler is accepted. He is ashath aghbar. When a person is dusty and disheveled, what are they more likely to be? Are they more likely to be like arrogant, or are they more likely to be broken and humbled, right? So he's broken and humbled in that moment. Ash'ath aghbar, raising his hands towards the sky. We already talked about the raising of the hands as an etiquette of dua and that Allah does not allow for those hands to come back down empty. He's calling out to Allah by his names and attributes. Ya Rab, Ya Rab. And the Rab is the one who looks after you and provides for you and takes care of you and protects you. And so all of these things are checked. And yet, there's an impediment. What's the impediment? Number one, his food is haram. His drink is haram. His nourishment is haram. So how can that dua be accepted? The Prophet ﷺ is distancing the notion that a dua like that could be accepted. The Prophet ﷺ, he says in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, إن الله تعالى طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا. Verily Allah is طيب, pure, good. He only accepts that which is pure. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he says in the same hadith, he says, and Allah has commanded the believers with the same thing that He has commanded the prophets. Both of them being to eat from that which is on the earth, that is, halal and tayyib. And so what a fruit of this name is very, very clear. And that is to make sure that your income is pure. To make sure that your sustenance is pure. Why? Because that is all that Allah accepts. Our worship has to be pure. Why? Because Allah only accepts that which is done sincerely for Him. Allah does not accept 99% tawheed and 1% shirk. It's got to be 100% undiluted, unadulterated tawheed. What we do has to be purified for Allah to accept. Now, when it comes to income, a lot of people think just from the aspect of, is my job title halal? Is my job description halal? And so people will ask questions about working at a restaurant that serves alcohol, or people will ask questions about working for a bank, or these types of questions are very, very common. But those aren't the only questions that we should be asking ourselves. Could a person work for an Islamic school and their income still not be halal? Mm-hmm. Could that be?
Yes.
How so?
If they are not fulfilling their responsibilities with the income in halal Absolutely. Ways.
You don't just have to worry about your description being halal, but am I earning my income, what I'm taking home? If my job description, what I've agreed upon and what I was hired on, is that I work 40 hours in this capacity doing this, and I spend half of it watching videos on YouTube and scrolling through Instagram, is that income that I'm taking home, is that halal? Right? So that's a very important aspect to pay attention to when it comes to income. And number two, which is what's even more clear to be understood from this hadith, is the food that you consume, that you make sure that it is pure, it is purely sourced, that it is halal. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I want to be mustajab al-du'a. I want my du'a to always be manifested. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Atib mat'amak. He said, make sure that the food that you eat is halal, you will be mustajab al-du'a. Your du'a will always be manifested. And so a person being concerned that they not put anything into their mouth that is not coming from a pure and halal source. This is the name of Allah al-Tayyib.
I have a question.
Yes.
What about character? If, let's say, you consider yourself to be not 100% pure, you have some sins in there and you're worried that you're not at the level of purity that you would ideally want to be, should you feel guilty about making dua or still make it considering with the hope that it'll be accepted?
There's never a circumstance where a person should feel guilty to not make dua. That is a trick of shaitan. Write that down, underline it. Trick of shaitan. A person should never feel that their corruption should stop them from doing an act of worship. I feel horrible about myself. I'm not going to pray. I feel horrible about myself. I'm not going to give zakat. I feel horrible about myself. I'm not going to teach a seminar. I'm not going to teach a class. Who of us is sinless? Because when shaitan is able to stop you from doing a good deed, he will always try to do that. And when you give up doing a good deed because of fear of your own impurity and all of that, then guess what? Shaitan is one. And if you stop whatever it is that you're doing, of good, of dua, of worship, of benefiting other people, anytime that shaitan's able to make you just kind of stay at home and sulk, and then he's been able to, that's one less soldier that he has to worry about on the battlefield, right? And so even when it comes to something as corruptive as riya, which is showing off, or technically it is to do something that is pleasing to Allah with the intention of pleasing other than Allah, right? And that's something that everybody struggles with. Any person with any ounce of sincerity will struggle with riya. Even then, the scholars, they say, when a person fears the riya, they should never let the fear of riya stop them from doing good deeds. Struggle with it, ask Allah for ikhlas, work on it, all of that type of stuff, and don't stop doing what you're doing. Feel bad, feel horrible, all of that, but continue to struggle. Struggling is part of the process. It is tazkiyatun nafs. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَ. Those who purify their souls will be successful, and those who don't do so, they are the ones who are going to lose. But purification of the soul is a long and arduous journey. It is a lifetime battle. If a person sees themselves as having a pure character, then they're delusional. There's never a point in your life where you're going to say, okay, I'm the man. Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, منذ أربعين سنة وأنا أصحح إسلامي. He said, for 40 years, I've been fixing my Islam. وَمَا ظَلَنْتُ أَنِّي أَسْلَمْتُ إِسْلَامًا جَيِّدًا إِلَى الْآنِ. And I do not see that I've submitted properly until today.